Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. Jon Stewart is back, and also not back. Jon Stewart is a sad, sad old man, and it's sad to see. I was such a big fan of Jon Stewart when I was younger. He dips out just before Trump gets elected. He pops back in afterwards, and he's woke now. He's woke. He called Andrew Sullivan racist, basically. He ran a segment called The Problem with White People. He completely exaggerated all of these claims. He praises individuals like Ta-Nehisi Coates because Jon Stewart is a lazy, feckless old man who has lost, he's lost it. And it's really, really sad. But you know what? We're going to see people rise up in his stead and do the job that he was supposed to be doing, which is being honest and being real. Instead, what he's doing is he's talking shit. Oh, white people have a real conversation about systemic racism. Yeah. Unfortunately for us, he brought on Andrew Sullivan, and Andrew Sullivan did a very, very bad job. So we have the video here. Here's what I think. Look at this. And our race we got.
You can already tell he's going to lose just by how he's sitting. You know, you can tell he's just destruction is on its way.
Why the fuck would any person do a digital debate like this? Because what happens is this morbidly obese woman over here on the right starts talking over him and says, I'm shutting you down now. And he can't talk because he's on a TV screen in the background and she's in the foreground on camera. So this was just a very miserable idea, but ultimately comes to the point where, you know, we have Andrew Sullivan on the whole time, I guess. And let's play a little bit. Let's see maybe where we're at.
That's no. If you can't diagnose the problem, you can't fix it.
We need to think about how we help the family restructure itself because it's key.
Let's boil it down. Why do you think the family got that way?
I don't know where the exact point is, where he calls Andrew Sullivan racist and the fat woman starts saying, I'm going to shut you down. Let me see if we can jump to it. I don't know, whatever. The point is, the segment was called The Problem with White People, 5 days ago, with almost 1 million views, 33,000 likes. And then Jon Stewart makes a joke about how, get your clickbait in now. This is where we're at. This is what Jon Stewart is. And I don't know, man. It's just sad to see.
It's very sad. You know, I mean, but this has infected a lot of people in our country who, you know, let's be perfectly honest, just don't have real problems. They don't have real problems. And it's almost like how, you know, how teenagers have to like push up against something. You know, it's just like a natural part of growing up being a teenager. I feel like when you're at this comfortable place in life where everything's been so cushy for you, like you need some sort of problem to fix, you know, and that used to be like going in a woodshed and making something or like fixing something in your house. But now it's being an anti-racist and reading, you know, Ibram Kendi and creating problems that don't exist. You know, for instance, and this is a problem across the board in the U.S., not just in Democrat areas, because even in red Tennessee, we have a program to give you free college if you're a minority only, okay? And it explicitly spells out in there that Cubans can go get free college, be a doctor or a nurse, if you fit into this racial category, okay? I don't want their help, okay? As a Cuban, I don't want their help. I don't want the government to pay for me to go to school because I'm Cuban. I think it's ludicrous. It's offensive and tells me that I'm somehow less capable to go and earn it on my own or do it on my own, or, you know, just get the grades necessary to get a scholarship or whatever it is, than somebody who's not Cuban, somebody who's white, you know? And I'll tell you this, this is actually an interesting thing, I think, for a lot of people. You know what real privilege is? It's not white privilege. It's the fact that I'm not worried about my kids getting into college. Not just because of, you know, position or stature, any of those things, but no, because they can write down on their college applications that they're Latino. They can write down that they're Hispanic. I'm not worried about them making it in. They'll make it into whatever school they want to go to. But if they had to write down that they were white because my wife is white, then I would actually worry.
Like, I did find the clip, so let me play a little bit of this.
Liberalizing all white people. The systems that were racist that were put in place. That
systems?
Yes. The systems that were put in place.
I'd like you to explain exactly what they are.
Well, I thought I explained it earlier about the GI Bill and about the New Deal.
That's one thing. I want to know about these systems.
I just explained it. Housing.
That's
food.
One, and I've agreed that.
Andrew, you're not living on the same fucking planet we are.
He's on video, dude. Have him in the studio, man.
See, this is the point. Andrew Sullivan, what the fuck was he thinking? That was the most piss poor non-answer, non-response to any debate. And John Stewart gets frustrated because Andrew Sullivan didn't offer anything substantive. John Stewart is wrong. He's right about some things like housing in terms of systemic racism. He's correct about that. But the problem is you need someone to actually be like, John, have a seat. Like, ask me the question. Let me give you the answer. Instead, Andrew Sullivan is just like, that's one thing. So what? One thing. Saying it's one thing is basically like, I agree with you, but I'm angry. What's the fucking point of having that conversation? But let's get to the point where the morbidly obese woman chimes in.
I really don't think you are.
I think you are not living in the planet most Americans are, which is why this kind of extremism, this anti-white extremism, is losing popular support, is creating a backlash, is going to elect Republicans, and undo a lot of the good you think you're doing.
This is what happens when you don't talk about it. This is what happens when white people don't talk about it, is you have racist dog whistle tropes like this that actually perpetuate. So I did not come on this show to sit here and argue with another white man. That's one of the reasons that we don't even engage with white men at Race to Dinner.
Oh,
seriously, what the fuck? She doesn't leave her desserts for that, okay?
Quite honestly, if white men were going to do something about racism, you had 400 years. You could have.
It's called one of the bloodiest motherfucking wars ever fought. And it was a whole bunch of motherfucking ass white people who died in the Civil War. Spare me your fucking bullshit,
unbelievable.
Dude. We weren't the first in the United States to abolish slavery, but we did abolish it, and it was one of the bloodiest battles fought
to abolish.
Guess
what? Slavery still exists, and I don't see these ladies going over to go save the people who are enslaved right now.
Who made her fucking shirt?
And I would like to ask her how many slaves she thinks exist in Africa right now.
There are more slaves alive today than there were
back then?
Back in the colonial era.
There are more slaves today than there were then.
You notice how she started talking over Andrew?
Yeah, that was obnoxious.
Well, don't agree to go on shows in this format.
That's what's going
to
happen. Super famous people will come and they'll be like, hey, want to be on my podcast? And this is remember this moment. No, don't get fucked.
No. It's sit down in real life. So we don't have people on the TV screen as guests. Yeah. It's stupid.
It's irritating.
You'll get accused of beating them down, badgering and not giving a chance. And then what'll they do? They'll sub in other people and make a meme and just shit all over. You want to have a real conversation. You don't do this.
There's a courage differential too. You know, the courage differential of like, if you're on a screen, suddenly you're not there. You don't have to have consequences for what you say. If you're in front of somebody and you're with them, you're going to find out where somebody really is. Will they say that thing to that person in person?
Check out this next part.
I'm
shutting you down right now.
I am not responsible for anyone before me.
The point is, I'm so tired of just engaging in this conversation and this deep hurt that Andrew has about talking about racism. And Chip, God bless you, but I'm going to put everybody in the thing. All of us white people do this. I don't care if we say we're abolitionists. I don't care if we say we're progressive. I don't care if we're literally members of the KKK. Every single white person upholds these systems and structures of white supremacy. And we have got to talk about it.
Always annoys me when they're like, we need to have a conversation.
And you're like, wait. Finger snap right now.
Let's remove it then from the calling me a racist, John.
Let's you've been doing a pretty good job with it yourself there. So, but Andrew, you're taking words out of context and blowing them out of proportion so that you don't have to deal with having to figure out a way to deconstruct the barriers that were put in place for black people in this country and give them a better chance.
Your opening segment
was brilliant.
Talking over him.
Biggest reductionist, one-sided.
I just can't stand listening to Andrew Sullivan.
Yeah.
I can stand listening to Jon Stewart be wrong. I can. Yeah. Because Jon Stewart is like, here's my statement, here's my argument. But Andrew Sullivan just keeps saying your argument's bad, one-sided, that's one thing. Yeah. He's not actually saying anything.
Yeah, when John was like, you're not even on this planet, he was like, you're actually the one that's not even on this planet.
You're
like,
calling really? Me racist.
You're on Jon Stewart's show and that's what you're going
to
say?
Let me answer Jon Stewart's questions very, answer to his points very, very, very simply. John, you're absolutely correct about the GI Bill and housing. I think the history in Chicago is profound. The redlining and blockbusting. Redlining, the term, actually comes from Chicago, where the real estate companies would be like, black people can only live here. Don't sell to anybody.
To these other, yeah.
Yeah, and blockbusting is when they actually destroyed the property value with the fear of black people so they could buy up homes at discounted rates. All of that's true. It's horrifying, too.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But you see, the issue is it's now been almost 40 years since we outlawed those practices. And in many of the areas, like the area I grew up in, it's no longer just black. Now you have Latinos, you have Polish immigrants, you have black people, obviously, as still the larger portion in many of these impoverished communities. In which case, when the progressive leftists come out and they propose race-based solutions, what's really happening is other people who are impacted in much the same way, not identically, are being left behind. So you want to talk about the South Side of Chicago, redlining and blockbusting. The reason why these areas are incredibly impoverished is because a combination of the two, redlining and blockbusting. So now you have black families that have property values that are very low, that are hard to transfer wealth to the next generation, which creates areas of increased poverty, and increased poverty means increased crime. Over the past 40 or so years, white people, Latinos, and others have moved into many of these areas because they're also poor. They are also being negatively impacted by the remnants of racist policies, but they're not black themselves. Yes, that's right. A white Southsider in Chicago who lives in a very densely black area is experiencing crime and poverty and an inability to transfer wealth and poor maintenance and poor public services because of racist policies against black people. So I don't want to leave anybody behind. The solution is quite simple. Class-based solutions. And if the concern of the progressives are that, yeah, well, black people are disproportionately hurt by these policies, I got good news for you. If that's true, then class-based solutions will disproportionately help black people. Problem solved. But Andrew Sullivan doesn't give any of those answers, and neither does Jon Stewart.
Yeah. No, they're not interested in answers. And the truth is that, you know, people like Jon Stewart have blinders on to the realities of the actual situation they're talking about. And at the core of all of this, again, is children, because critical race theory is really being imposed on little kids. And that's the plan. You know, again, separate them and change their reality, create chaos in society. And when you do that and you get these blinders on with people like him, he doesn't realize what's really going on in those classrooms. He doesn't want to know. And that's the truth of it. He's not investigating. He does not want to know, because if he did know, he couldn't have that conversation. He couldn't do that.
I think Jon Stewart's in his opening segment, he struggled to read the word reparation. And many people pointed out it's because he's reading a prompter. It's because he doesn't actually know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. He's soaked in narcissism too that whole time.
What happened to him, man? He was right on the pulse up until like a year ago or less.
Join the cult, buddy.
Is this like what I think LeBron James? All of a sudden, one day he's like, yeah, white people are the problem, and like all of a sudden you see now he's a race baiter. Now he's talking about race all the time.
It's a cult. It's crazy. It really is a cult. Well, and the thing is like, you know, there's a lot of things about the human condition that just don't change, and people wanting an enemy is one of them. And when you have such a wonderful life that most Americans have had, in terms of, if you look at the vast majority of history, even if you're in a bad position in America, you're incredibly lucky comparatively to how humans have lived their lives from, you know, the beginning of existence. And people forget that. And you need that thing to make your enemy that has ruined your life, no matter what. It doesn't matter. Even rich people do it, where they're like, I would have even more if this person didn't do this. Everybody's always got to have somebody that they push up against that is their, you know, person holding them back from their highest good. They're making white people that.
I got a question. This would be to John Stewart, but you guys obviously, you know, answer. Would you be willing to cause financial harm to impoverished minorities for the sake of another impoverished minority group of a different race?
God.
And he would say, oh, absolutely not. That's right. What he would do.
Absolutely not. So my issue here is, when we're talking about the smallest minorities, let me dig deeper. Do you think that a smaller minority group should get preference than a larger minority group? Say there's a race of people in the United States that make up 10 to 20% of the population, and then there's a group that makes up 5%. Should that 5% receive any kind of preferential treatment because they're a smaller minority?
I don't think race, like me and you, we look the same to me. We just look like American dudes. I don't know.
100%. I should not be treated differently than you and have more opportunities than you do. If we're born on the same day, we live in the same country, I should not have more opportunities than you do because my family came from somewhere different. That's ridiculous.
But you're not white, right?
Technically, by their standards, no. But like, to me, I'm like, I consider myself probably pretty white. Like, I mean, but it's funny because
let me ask you, did you ever actually in your life one day look at yourself and say, I'm white?
No.
Exactly.
No.
This is the weird reality.
It's like a weird question too. Like, are you white? It's like, well, like, use your eyeballs, bro. You know?
But it's not just that. It's these woke people want white people to have a white identity. Like, Ian, have you ever in your life just like one day been like, I am white?
Yeah, well, it was with a question mark at the end. I looked in the mirror and I was like, I'm white? Like, I'm trying to understand.
No, that's what I'm asking.
My skin is not white,
you,
but I am white.
I'm asking,
I'm just coming
you,
to terms with it.
That's not what I asked. I asked when you were younger.
No, the answer is no. When I did realize it was a confusing realization, like, I'll accept that this is what they're calling me, though I'm not white.
I never had any kind of weird, like, racial identity. And the funny thing is, I grew up in a neighborhood where My one friend Andy, who would call everybody by their racial slur, called me Gook all the time. And it's like, that was him. He was Cartman. He was Eric Cartman. So he would just use racial slurs for people and everybody thought it was funny. Cause it was like, you know, to be honest, we all watch South Park. And so
emulating what was happening on TV.
And so he was trying to be edgy and funny. So knowing that my group of friends viewed me as Korean didn't mean anything to me.
It shows you how powerful culture is, too.
Yeah. So, you know, my friends knew that, you know, we'd eat bulgogi for dinner or whatever and teriyaki and stuff, even though my mom is like American, but she still had her mom cooking her this kind of stuff. They knew all that. They would make these jokes. There was never a moment in my life where I was like, back then, that I'm like, wow, these white people are looking at me and they're calling me a different race.
They're hurting me.
It's going on. I was always just like, oh yeah, I don't know, I guess I am Korean. It is funny, isn't it?
There's a point where I went to South America and I was in Chile and they were calling me Thor because I looked like Chris Hemsworth. To them, I guess I looked like Chris Hemsworth.
Ah, that's a stretch. Yeah. Did they see an eye doctor?
Yeah, exactly. I don't look like, but to them, it was basically a racist thing. I was a white guy with long hair.
He roasted you, bro. Yeah.
No. I think they need glasses.
We can agree. I look nothing like Chris Hemsworth, but to these people, in South America, I was a white guy with long hair, so it was a very offended by it. I noticed it.
You're reminding me, so you want real racism? Go to China.
Oh, yeah.
China is the most racist. I've been all over the world. China is the most racist country, and it's not close. There is nothing that is a close second. I went with a very famous black celebrity, and the amount of racism thrown at him in China is like something I've never seen before. And you know, you have to understand they use the N-word in their language too. It means a different thing in Mandarin. It means like that there. But it sounds the exact same as N-word here. But they also do it in a way that is they try to pretend they're not saying it, but they are saying it.
Whoa.
And so we had somebody with us who was black who speaks Mandarin. and they were a translator and they could tell the difference. And generally with Americans, that's not the case. They don't have somebody with them speaking Mandarin unless they are Chinese. And in many cases, if it's a celebrity, it's somebody deeply tied to the Communist Party. Well, we had our own person, because we knew that. I was very woke to communism and I was like, I had warned this person. It was Akon, and it was crazy the amount of times that
remember when they banned terribly. Black people from McDonald's?
No.
During COVID.
Oh, I don't. Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I do remember that in China they did. They banned black people in China from McDonald's. Was it only McDonald's? I thought it was multiple things.
I think it was multiple things, but the video. Yeah, it was the video of it was look at this. McDonald's apologized after a restaurant in China bans black people.
Yes, this happened at more than just McDonald's though. I remember seeing news stories from a bunch of other places where it had become a cultural thing where they were like blaming black people for COVID.
Yeah.
You know? And, it's really sad, but China, it's not even close. I mean, the experience we had there was rough. It was bad. It was very bad.
I would imagine. Han supremacist, is that a fair way to
Yo, Asians
classify?
Are racist.
I'm not sure. I've never heard that term before. What
Han
is it?
Supremacy, like the Han dynasty. I thought Han.
Isn't it Hun?
H-A-N. No, the Huns were a different culture.
Okay.
Well, the Huns, weren't they in Europe?
Attila. Mongolia? Yeah, it was like 500-600 AD. Yeah. The Huns were earlier.
I have a little Mongolian in me. I didn't do it. One of my sisters did one of those 23andMe things.
All of these Southeast Mongolian. Asian cultures think they're racially superior to everybody.
And this
else.
Is a generalization. Obviously, not everyone that lives there is racist, but it's culturally, apparently. The Han supremacy thing's interesting because, like, the Uyghurs are not Han. Yeah. So they're being treated like dog shit.
They're being raped.
They're being treated, I mean, everybody loves to say never again. Well, you're letting it happen again. So.
Yeah, well, you know, Russia bad.
Really, you want to wake up, man. Talk about ending slavery, dude. We got to look at the Uyghurs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, it's sad to see Jon Stewart in this position. It's sad to see...
He's a shell of himself.
Well, doing the problem with white people is just like, come on, dude. You want to have a conversation about housing and stuff? Like, for sure... But he's just going down that racist rabbit hole.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, I would low rent than that.
I'd want to ask him. Do you think that people should be judged based on the content of their character or the color of their skin?
Yeah.
And what would he say?
His brain would burst at that question.
No, he's going to give you some, well, I mean, we got to take into consideration the realities of it. Like, yes or no, bro, one or two, true or false, pick one. Don't fucking give me your workaround bullshit excuse for why you're a fucking racist.
Hey, well, the answer I've seen them going with on this is that, like, well, if Martin Luther King was alive today, he would educate you on this. He wasn't talking about that. He was actually meaning something very different, but you're just saying that and you're misusing what he's saying, because if you look at everything he says, then it's very different. And it's like, that's not the question. The question is, do you agree with that statement or not?
The idea that white people have prioritized, what does he say? He says white people prioritized white comfort over black survival is just fucking stupid. Because you want to break it down
for
you?
So he's in therapy.
The majority of any ethnic group had a tendency throughout history to protect its own ethnic group, typically because of cultural separations, which resulted in war and conflict. The easiest way to identify someone as not being a part of your community was by their race. If you were, say, French, and you're in a village full of white people all speaking French, and some dudes show up speaking English, fucking war. Eventually, when they expand, you end up with Arab nations and, you know, the Ottoman Empire, and then seeing different colored people was the easiest way to be like, you're clearly not from where we are, and that's war. Because, like, wars were breaking out. Nowadays, We all kind of live around each other and everything, you know. So the reality is it's the majority has always been favoring the majority.
Yeah.
The English would not favor a Frenchman in English territory just because they were like, you're not part of this. That's all changing now. But it's people like Jon Stewart that are bringing us all right back into the mess, into the bullshit.
And they use lines that sound like bad therapists, yeah. You know.
I believe I will never give up on that, on Jon. He's done so much good. I think he's the guy to talk to about the differential, maybe him and James Lindsay together, about how it's a race issue, but it's a class issue. And that those are very – we need to get down to the idiosyncrasies.
Well, but ask yourself, would Jon even have that conversation, like legit one-on-one at a table and debate him? I don't think he would anymore. He doesn't have the gravity to do it. He doesn't understand what the issues are anymore. He doesn't get it. He's disconnected. And that's the most dangerous thing in this world, is if you're disconnected from the lives of normal people, you start listening to uppity people like an uppity therapist in Manhattan who's telling you that this is the reality of black people. Well, the reality is that in elections in New York, the people voting for the crazy progressive left-wing nuttery that he's out there pushing are white people in Manhattan. Black people in the Bronx and Latinos in the Bronx, those people are voting for much more conservative policing policies.
But they
can't explain that.
I don't think Jon Stewart's producers or whoever for his show would have someone like James Lindsay on.
No.
Andrew Sullivan was an easy target.
100%.
He was a miserable performance by Sullivan. That is what it is. You know, I'm tired of looking up at these old people, and I'm more interested in just doing the work.
Agreed.
It's remarkable. I remember when I was younger, I remember looking up to people.
Yep.
Not necessarily, there was never any like real hero or anything that I had on any subject matter. But I do remember this moment in my life where things sort of changed, and that was when my dad couldn't answer a question for me.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, I'd be like, hey, Dad, why is this? And he'd give me an answer. Why is that? He'd give me an answer. I remember I'd be like, hey, I have a problem with this. And he'd be like, well, you need to do that. I would go, oh, okay. Hey, that worked. And then one day when I was like 18, I was like, hey, Dad, this thing happened. I need help. And he goes, I have no idea. And I went, what? And he was like, I don't know what you should do. And then I was like, oh, shit. What the fuck is this all about?
Yeah.
My dad always answers.
My dad doesn't know everything.
I've been thinking about marriage lately because, like, it's just as a business decision, like, you know, dating a girl and I want to, like, give her money. So the best way to do this is to get married. So it's tax deductible or whatever. But I was like, I got to ask my dad first. And I was like, what am I going to get out of that? Like, I can decide what I'm going to do with my life. What is he going to tell me? Go for it or don't do it?
Doesn't he's going to give you advice.
I'm going to do what I do regardless.
I would still ask. If you have a good relationship with your dad, I would talk to him.
How fortunate am I to have a dad to talk to?
Just to stay on point, the first thing I'll say is to respond to that is, of course, you ask your parents for advice on marriage. That's obvious.
Yeah.
I'm talking about business. But the point it is
a business decision.
The point I was getting to was that there came to a point where around that time, I started to realize, you know, people like Jon Stewart, they don't actually know shit.
Yeah.
And now we're at the point, especially as I'm 36, I'm watching Andrew Sullivan, who's been around forever, and I'm like, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about at all, and he can't argue
for shit. He somehow knows less than Jon Stewart does.
And Jon Stewart is confused and asking for answers, and neither of these people did a fucking Google search.
Yeah.
That's what just blows my mind about this. It's like, Jon, buddy, did you Google it?
It's all soaked in narcissism from all ends, you know, because if they actually cared, they'd do the most basic of research, you know?
It's kind of like peeling an onion. Like once you start peeling in, your eyes start to burn because it hurts to look at it.
Yeah.
And then you gotta keep peeling. I don't know. It might be the cutting of the onion.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
That's a good way to
put it. It might be the cutting of the onion that causes the eyes to burn. So I don't know if the peeling metaphor works exactly.
I think it does because sometimes in peeling it, I've gotten a little watery eyed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then
a little bit. Okay. I might be sensitive to it maybe or something, but.
You know, we're getting to that point. How old are you, Robbie?
33.
33, yep. And you're running for Congress.
Yep.
And
I have
36.
A 13-year-old, too. That's crazy.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, I got started early.
That's awesome. The reality, not necessarily. I mean.
Yeah, not historically. Right. Historically, I'm actually late. You know, you probably started at 18, but.
Actually fairly average. I think it was between 20 and 22 was when people were starting families. But at a certain point, and for everybody who's watching, because I know most of you are around the similar age group, we are inheriting the world.
Yep.
There's going to come a time where I'm going to be in this position like Jon Stewart. And people are going to be like, man, Tim Pool's a fucking shit. What the fuck happened to that
Maybe.
Guy?
Maybe. Grab the reins. Grab the reins, everybody. Grab the reins. Take it. Run with it. You got one life to live. Live it now. Live it wisely because this is it. You don't do everything you want to do at the end of this and you're dead. You have only yourself to blame that you didn't do it.
I'm going to pull a Dylan Radigan, though. That's my plan. You know
what
he did?
Guy.
He just bailed. He just got the fuck out.
Really?
Yeah, he went and started doing hydroponics or something.
That's admirable. Oh, we have Stink bug. Friend.
Oh, speaking of Chinese fucking interference, that shit, these stink bugs, the brown marmalated stink bug, apparently 1994 or something, got introduced into Pennsylvania.
Really?
And now they're an invasive species all over. Yeah. That's the fucking CCP
ass. Hold on. No. Ian, stink bugs are doofy and slow. And they taste like apples.
I actually like them a lot. Okay, so I don't like bugs. I don't like any of that stuff usually. But we have these stink bugs all over our farm. And I cannot bring myself to kill them because I feel bad for them. Because
they're so dumb.
And they're so stupid. I just, like, honestly, they're the only animal that I'll find in my house. And I don't either – that is not my pet that I don't either want to eat, get out of my house, or kill. And in their case, I actually help them all the time where they're like in the dumbest places. Like they're in the sink and I'm like, dude, you're going to die, man. And I'll be like, come on, let's flip you over and let's get,
he's flipped over.
There you go. And
you get, bro,
and send them on their way.
In summertime, there's like 1,000 on the eastern exposure. You just shake them all off into a net, throw them in the chickens. Free chicken food, dude.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Chickens love these things. Apparently stink chickens bugs, they eat them in China. Because they taste like apples.
That's when I didn't see
they taste like apples. Ian,
they eat some weird stuff over there.
I think I'm gonna pass. Actually,
no, but for real, apparently they will like fry them and chocolate cover them, and it's like apple pie.
It is a good source of protein, that's for sure.
They stink.
Oh, you want us to eat the bugs, huh? Yeah.
Would you eat the bugs? Have you ever eaten bugs?
I would not eat the bugs. No,
I try to make a cricket
bread.
Come on,
bro, shrimps are bugs.
Oh yeah, it's a good
they're
point.
They're not quite
salty.
Bugs.
Salty.
They're bugs. What are they classified as? Lydia probably.
Crustaceans?
Are they crustaceans?
Arthropods.
Yeah. Arthropods. See, I knew she would know.
Lobsters and roly-polies basically is anything.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
No. Lobster, very different in my book.
No, I'll do lobster. No. I was being serious. Roly-polies and lobsters are the same family.
Yeah, but I'm not eating roly-polies.
Those potato bugs?
Yeah, pill bugs or whatever they call them.
I'm not eating them.
You ever have escargot? Bro, escargot's legit.
I don't want it. My grandma used to really like it. She thought it was very fancy. My Cuban grandma, it was like, that was like the delicacy. She was like, you have to try.
Dude, I love.
But no.
It is, when you're in France, you can't walk 10 feet without being able to get some fucking snails. And what they do is the shell is full of like garlic and oil.
Oh.
And they cook it. You get a little fork and you scoop it out and you put it on a piece of bread and
that
you eat it.
Sounds so gross to me. My wife probably has done it. She speaks French, so she probably has
it. Just
done
tastes
it
like calamari.
Yeah, I don't know like, about it's same, that. I like calamari, shit. Though.
Garlic and
then
oil.
You would like escargot?
Maybe this
shit.
Is a thing where, like, I'm cool with things that are a little bit bigger, you know, like eating them. Like, maybe I'm just, like, more of a dominant alpha than you two. And so I want to take down a big animal, you know?
Like
I want to go take down a bison. Yeah, I've had bison. I want that stuff,
like
you know?
A giraffe.
But
no,
you
I'm
have, like,
kidding.
You have a little bit, like, you're okay with eating snails, you know? And like,
well,
I'm
yeah,
like,
because, you know, the masculine energy in me recognizes the need for survival and your weak, effeminate taste buds. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> This is the future of evolution.
Hey, look.
We're having the future evolutionary
mental gymnasium.
Like, fight here to figure out who the...
Only the adaptable virgin, will survive.
Who's the metaverse alpha? Okay.
The virgin won't eat bugs versus the Chad bug eater.
No, that would never happen. And the Chad is the non-bug eater.
No. The virgin won't eat bugs, dies in the apocalypse, and the Chad bug eater is all ripped.
This is so wrong.
But at least I was
Can
pure.
We throw up a poll, Lydia? Is there a poll for this? Because I think the Chad always refuses to eat the bugs.
Bugs or not?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yes. See, the poll says I'm correct.
That's correct. There you go.
I'm the Chad.
Bro,
Lydia just called you a virgin.
A man would eat bark to survive.
Yeah.
He would bite a tree and be like, I ain't dying here.
No, a man would need to eat bark to live.
They eat goats, but they won't eat dogs.
I'm talking about
Lydia's on my team again.
the plane carrying the fucking guys who killed Osama bin Laden blows up because the terrorists get it, and these guys falling from the sky land in the middle of the woods, superhero pose without parachutes, and then they're like, we're in the middle of nowhere, we need food. Let's just eat what we can eat. And they start fucking just eating everything. They're grabbing rabbits and just biting it.
Rabbits, yes. Not snails. They're not going, oh yeah, Robert, grab the snails though.
They're grabbing chunks of wood and eating it. And then the virgin non-bug eater is going, but I don't want to eat bugs.
No. These guys are so manly, they're not even hungry because as the plane was going down, they ate the plane, okay?
They ate the plane. They're biting air.
Yes.
There's a lot of carbon in that carbon dioxide.
Yes, there is. There is.
They compress air to pull the carbon out of it and then eat
turn it into pure energy.
Yeah, and their bodies can turn that pure carbon into sugar just because, you know, sunlight or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, I eat bugs. Yeah, I eat a lot of shit.
I'm open to it because when you can eat cows and you can eat all these bloody meat thing, pus pockets, but you can't eat a dog. And I'm like, well, why?
You can't eat dogs.
Because they're family.
Don't eat a dog because that one's different. I'm like, well, that's all meat.
Because dogs can smell it.
Yeah. If you eat a dog, another dog will smell your body.
And they'll attack you.
Find me a cow that can sniff out cancer and I'll stop eating them, okay?
So
the ones that can sniff out cancer.
This is, I guess you call it urban legend or whatever, but the urban legend or hypothesis or whatever is that, you know, dogs can smell cancer. They can smell seizures. They can smell strokes. And so the idea is that if you've ever eaten a dog, the dog can smell you've eaten dog and will like always just not trust you or growl at you. And so for societies that depended upon dogs for hunting, you could not eat the dog because the dogs wouldn't work with you then. Cause they'd be like, you're a bad guy.
I believe that one.
Oh yeah.
I believe that without knowing anything about it. Totally
cats
believe that.
Cats too? You think cats?
No.
They're no. Cats
are,
smell.
Cats are terrorists. They don't know anything.
No, they're legit an invasive species.
Yeah.
They mimic babies crying and they have big eyes so that we just take care of them. Yeah, the story of dog domestication is like humans and wolves slowly cohabitated more and more and then hunted together to attack bigger game and survive.
Two hunters joined together for a more perfect union.
I think cats are an invasive species that we tolerate.
I think the cats helped us hunt mammoths on the African savannah at some point by slicing the back of their tendons. That's entirely made up. Because if you think about the cavemen and the cats...
The
war elephants dominated the savannah for a while.
And a fucking cat is not going to slice anybody.
The cat can attack the back of the back legs of the elephants, cutting them their Achilles tendons and then making them fall down.
Can't.
And then the humans can come with spears and finish off the elephants.
This idea is making me want to throw a cat at you.
That's like just some insane bullshit you made up.
I think that they were old partners in the savannah.
No.
They built the Sphinx. They carved it in reverence for the cat.
Yes, just like we have photos of cats on Reddit. It doesn't mean we worship them. Cats are, you know why cats don't have whites? You can't see the whites of a cat's eyes? Because they're solitary hunters. The reason you can see a dog's, the whites of their eyes, is because pack hunters, like humans, need to be able to determine where the other person is looking. So when wolves are hunting, the wolves looking up to the alpha, which is typically the father, look to where his eyes are moving so they know what he's looking at. In fact, dogs are the only other animal that know what pointing means. That's why when you point to a cat, the cat just sniffs your finger.
Yeah.
Because cats did not hunt, bro.
They didn't.
I mean, they're hunters by nature. They did hunt,
solitary,
whether or not they hunted with humans.
Solitary carnivores.
Pack. Yeah, they're
not
ambush,
as a pack. They
they're
never
ambush
worked
predators.
With us.
They're ambush predators, which means they hide in the shadows and they take
maybe what happened is they would kill the elephants and then the humans would go feast off the carcasses because humans were scavengers.
No, humans
for their history were scavengers.
Read a book. Humans were endurance hunters.
Dude, I'm talking about way back, man.
Yes, humans, they were. Okay, let me take tools and stuff, we were scavengers. No, we weren't.
Yeah, we would eat like vultures, dude.
We still had stronger muscles than most
endurance
animals on Earth.
Hunters.
Wait a minute.
The reason why humans don't have hair and we are bipedal is because we can run for 50 plus miles and an ungulate cannot.
And tire them out.
Hooven furred animals would become hot and collapse due to heat exhaustion, and the human would just trot like Pepe Le Pew with no hair, so the water was evaporating, allowing humans to outlast.
And they were ripped.
So I'm referencing history.com. Early humans may have scavenged more than they hunted. Could be wrong, but this is what I'm referencing.
No. Okay. If you want to talk about humans are hunters and gatherers, of course.
They were scavengers.
Humans were endurance hunters, and we were coastal because we would fish. When it came to hunting wild creatures, humans, the reason we don't have hair is because we don't overheat. We can run for a long time. So we hunt.
I think you're thinking of the libs back then. You know, like maybe they were scavengers and they ate berries till they died.
They're very good at using as little energy as they have to. People are great about waiting until you absolutely have to do anything. We all know that, obviously.
That's why they get fat.
And I think that's why they scavenged. They'd let the other animals make the kill and then they'd go get the food.
I think you're referencing a single article and it, like.
Yeah, this was from a few years ago, research that I was reading.
But it's like, when you ask simple questions like, out of all of the animals, why are humans hairless? Like, obviously not completely hair on your heads. You guys do. I don't. But, you know, most people have hair a little bit on their body. Endurance hunting. That's just like a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
Humans evolved hunting. We have teeth for eating grains and eating meat. This is what we do. And it's fish for the most part. Fish is, well, like a principal portion of our diet. That's why humans were always on the coast. And it helped our brains grow big. But then when it came to hunting down big game, we would just Pepe Le Pew, just trotting along. And then, so the thing about like the cheetah, for instance, it can't run that long. Because it overheats instantly. Furry and quadrupedal, hard for the heat to escape the body. So it can sprint, boom, like a shotgun blast, catch that animal. Gazelles and other, you know, deer and things like that, hogs, also bipedal, typically hairy. And so they can run, but they overheat so quick. What happens is, and you seriously watch videos of this, they plop out and spread their body wide, desperately trying to get cool from the ground. You'll see cats, you'll see squirrels do it. Humans don't lay on the ground like that. We just sweat and it evaporates, taking the heat away. This means we can, like, if you can just watch a video of it. It's fascinating shit. Anyway.
And History Channel, everybody knows, is only good for information about ancient aliens. And secondly, have you guys ever seen Chuck Grassley's War with the History Channel?
No.
Okay, so this dude, people watching probably know about this. He's had a long-term war with the History Channel where he tweets about it every time he wants to watch stuff about history and how angry he is that they don't play history. And it's been this hilarious, weird, long-term thing where he complains on his Twitter account about the History Channel. So you've got to, like, catch yourselves up on this, but it's pretty funny.
It sounds like something I'll check out.
Who owns the History Channel?
I don't know, A&E or Hearst or something. But
and he's like 100 years old.
We'll wrap it up there, Robbie. It's been a blast. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Thank you. I love you guys. Best show.
Definitely got to have you back, and good luck in your...
Well, you guys are coming to Nashville, so...
Yep, we'll see you, man. Yeah.
If you guys have any class, you'll call me while you're there.
But. Well, we got 2 weekends there. Well, we've got Saturday and Sunday, and then we got to leave the following weekend Sunday, but we'll be there for a Saturday, so...
Awesome.
You know, right on. All right, everybody, thank you so much for being members and making all of this possible, and we will see you all next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.